A reading from the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Stay awake, for you do not know on which day your Lord will come. Be sure of this: if the master of the house had known the hour of night when the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and not let his house be broken into. So to you also must be prepared, for at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come. Who then is the faithful and prudent servant whom the master has put in charge of his household to distribute to them the food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master on his arrival finds doing so. Amen, I say to you, he will put him in charge of all his property. But if that wicked servant says to himself, 'My master is long delayed,' and begins to beat his fellow servants and eat and drink with drunkards, the servant's master will come on an unexpected day and at an unknown hour, and will punish him severely and assign him to a place with the hypocrites, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth." The Gospel of the Lord. On the first time I had travelled outside of my country, I landed in Hong Kong at about 11 p.m. I had pre-booked a hotel and was told there would be a hotel courtesy car waiting for me, but there was no car. I waited and waited. So late at night, alone in a strange country, uncertain what to do, I recall the string of reactions, the anxiety, the anger, the fear, the despair. 2 hours I waited. No one came to offer help. And in my naivety, I just strolled up and down and worried. Eventually, of course, I took matter into hand and went to find a way of contacting the hotel, and soon all was resolved. But the frantic waiting experience stayed with me a long time. 2 days later, I landed in Manila Airport, where a friend was to pick me up. I waited and waited, hounded by cab drivers. Manila cab drivers have quite a reputation. Nothing. This time, my friend's car had broken down on the way to collect me. Another long, anxious wait. Well, obviously, the essential part of this waiting and this anxiety was the hope that something would happen. And for a long time, nothing did happen. Until I made it happen. At times, of course, we do have to be patient and recognize we need to depend on someone else to bring our waiting to an end. But where I went wrong was in thinking that hope was about waiting passively for something to happen. And hope is what Matthew is really thinking about in today's reading. His community seemed to be waiting for something to happen. Matthew warns them against just a kind of passive hope that something will come at some indeterminate time in the future. I don't think hope is about simply the future. I think hope is rooted in the here and now. Certainly, Jesus doesn't advise his disciples to just sit and wait, resurrection or no resurrection. Stay awake, he says, the time will come. And he's referring to the parousia, his glorious manifestation on earth at the end of time. And Jesus doesn't ask us to be always calculating when the last days will be. Not calculate, but discern. And although the parousia is at the end of time, it marks and determines every moment in time. Everything is oriented to that end. And it's not important whether it comes tomorrow or in 1,000 years. What really matters is that we live in conformity with that moment, orienting our lives and all of history to the coming of Jesus. That's what he means by, before this generation has passed away, these things will have taken place. This generation is the time between the resurrection and the parousia. We are that generation. And it means that we can never simply tolerate or ignore the many imperfections we face, not death or any of the evils that beset human life, because the resurrection is not simply a comfort in a life of distress and death. The resurrection is God's contradiction of all suffering and death, God's rejection of violence and oppression. Hope is looking to Christ not merely for consolation in suffering, but as a protest against suffering. The risen Christ and the resurrection hope must be proclaimed the enemy of injustice and of a world that puts up with injustice. Now, for you and me, this all has enormous implications for the decisions that we make about our lives. If we refuse to let ourselves be consumed in the world of commerce and social institution and all the other earthly pursuits, if we believe that as Christians we are called, that we have a mission that is related to the kingdom of God and bringing that about, then we have to be aware of the hope that is an essential part of that mission. And that's why we can never think of hope as simply something passive, something that throws everything on God's lap and lets us sit back and do nothing. Hope inspires us to act, and hope begets more hope. That is, I think, the essence of Christian hope. Kierkegaard, the Danish religious philosopher, once described hope as a passion for what is possible. Do I have that kind of passion?